And it's obviously great to have Steve with us this evening. And we were just kind of chatting in Steve and Anita's garden a bit earlier and saying what a sad lot we are that we've got nothing better to do on a Saturday evening and come and hear him. But I don't think he was too offended by that. What? Just a few practicalities. There's kind of drinks and stuff at the back, as you know, so please feel free if you want to go and get yourself another coffee, another cold drink at any point, just to wander off. The aim of this evening is to be quite practical. Steve's going to start as he means to go on. So he's going to do some teaching, practical stuff around prophecy, but the aim is to kind of get us going, really. But just a kind of few ground rules, just to let you know, I know some of you are kind of here slightly in fear and trepidation as what might be expected of you, but the ground rule is that nobody's going to be asked to do anything that they don't feel comfortable to do, so you can rest assured that, you know, you can enjoy this evening, I hope. Isn't that true, they can enjoy this evening? Good, should we just pray, and then I'm going to hand over to Steve, and we'll just see what happens. So Lord, we just thank you for your presence here with us. We thank you that we are family. Thank you for the relationships that you've established amongst us. And we just thank you for your goodness. And so off-putting. And we want to open our hearts tonight to receive everything that you have for us. And we thank you for Steve. And we pray that you bless him tonight. And even as he kind of comes with a heart to give to us, to impart to us, that you'd be imparting to him, pouring out your blessing on him. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just had this strange picture then of this bloke at the Jubilee, one of the comedians, dressed up like a beefeater. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He lives not far from us, actually. It does, actually. And I felt this Peter Kay anointing. Have I just lost everyone? Thank you, darling. At least you're not Baptist, are you?
No,
because once years ago in Bristol, I was in this nice Baptist church. Never did get asked back. But what I did, I was speaking on a Sunday evening. Am I all right here? Is it? Can you hear me all right? And it was quite full. I won't tell you where it was. And I sort of moved back and found something against my lower nether area. And so I sat on it. I lost them all. Because I sat on the communion table. So the spirit of grovelling came upon me. And I got them back. So you're not like that, are you? Good. There is a book that I'd mentioned to Linda, didn't I? Or did I mention to Sarah? I may have mentioned it to the whole world. It's a book called The Wild Gospel. Anybody come across this lady called Alison Morgan, who's a reverend doctor, Anglican lady? It's an outstanding book. I think exceedingly prophetic. And good reviews by archbishops and people like that. And she talks a lot about Jesus overturning the culture of the day and that sort of thing, and bringing the kingdom of God in his own inimitable way, as he was very naughty on Sabbath, you know, and spat and did all sorts of things, and people were offended. That's until they saw the eyeballs appear in the man's eyes, you know, and think it's just out. She's got a way of writing which draws you right in, what draws me in. So I'm not getting any commission, but if you want to have a little look, there it is. And there's another one she's written, but I can't remember that either. So what we're going to do, I'm going to do a little bit of chatting, and then we'll stop and we'll do some practical stuff. And we have lining paper here, And what we're going to do is unroll the lining paper, and people are going to stand on them, and the rest of us are going to write our prophecies around their feet, and we'll tear them off then and give them to you. So who's never prophesied? Right, you qualify. Who's not prophesied very much? Right, well, there's about a dozen, 15 of you. You can begin, can't you, Louise? You can sing in French. So maybe what we will get into this, because we just want some sort of practical work to push you a little, and then I'll come back and I want to talk a little bit about Elijah and Elisha. And I brought Elijah's mantle with me, and it would be good to somehow pray for all of us if you want, or as many as want to, and we'll put you under Elijah's mantle. It's actually a furniture wrap from IKEA, or as somebody we know calls it, IKEA, you know. But it's just, I don't know, you don't forget, you'll see, something's going to happen. I feel all sort of like this, you know, those little babies, they go like that, don't they? Not like that, but like that. I feel a bit like that, really. And also, I've got some notes for you, I'm not going to give you them now, because you'll only read them while I'm talking, won't you? So, and my nose is, why is my nose ringing? Is that demonic green tea? I don't know. Anyway, it is. So, I've got some notes, particularly about prophetic activation. There's four areas about yielding to the Spirit and stuff like that. But also, I've got this quote about the prophetic word being spoken into the now. And I want to go into that a little bit just later on, if I may, because it's absolutely important. Just remember, we don't prophesy the future, we prophesy into the now, and that becomes the future. Yes. Dost thou seest that? Yes. It's utterly vital, that is, to me. Are you feeling something, or is it just me? Something's happening. So we'll have a look at that, and then you can take that home, do some homework, and come back tomorrow. Now, and we'll go from there. Now, there's a couple of other things I'd like to say. I'm going to have to speak to Louise right now, because it's just there's two Latin words, Louise. I've been thinking about you. And we'll get this one tomorrow or something, or later. Is that all right? The two L's, Louise and... I feel like it's time for Carpe Diem. Pardon? Correct. That's it. It's time for you to seize the day. I'm sure it's just not her, actually, but I just wanted, if you don't mind, to focus on Louise, that it's time to seize the day. And I was somewhere recently, and this guy said he feels like, I know where I was, I was in the car listening to him on CD, and he said, it feels like to me that God is putting stones in our shoes to disturb us. Because the prophetic, or the prophet, or the prophetic community, the purpose of the prophetic community is to look into the future, not just look into the present. It's to take us into the future, not just hang about in the present. And I feel like he was saying that, you know what it's like with the smallest stone in your shoe. You've had a stone in your shoe. Something's been happening to you. This firework's going to explode. And, you know, it's not irritation, it's more a pressure that you need to keep moving on, Louise, keep moving on. And I think many of us here have actually stones in our shoes. If you haven't, this is what I want to say. Lord, give them stones, put stones in their shoes, because the core, the edge of the prophetic is for us to move on. And you can go into 1 Kings and 2 Kings and see how Elijah and Elisha, they were there, then they moved to somewhere else, then they moved to somewhere else, then they moved to somewhere else. And the pressure was on, particularly Elisha, to stay behind and stay back. Don't want you. Stay there, stay there. And he wouldn't. And he had this desire to move on into something powerful and brilliant. And I feel like that's where we are as church. And I'll talk a bit more about focus in a minute maybe, but I feel like we are in transition. So you'll hear a lot of that word tomorrow. because I don't want to get into it now. It is really too much. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. So, Louise, the anointing on you to be a breakthrough woman is powerful. And I feel like you're going to have some contention with the way you think or the way you feel or yesterday's issues and emotive stuff that has happened that would want to hinder you. But I want to say, do not let anything religious from the past put you within a context of walls and barriers. They're going to come down. And you've got the guts and the boldness and I think that panache and that verve and that life to push right through and to jump off the cliff, to go on, to go to the edge and go off. It's like God said to Elijah, who was whinging in the cave. Do you remember? He was really down the drain. He started to moan and whinge. I'm not talking about you now, unless you want me to. And God said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "Oh, I'm the only one left. It is I." And all the violins kept coming out. Do you remember? That's what happened. Old Mantovani, remember him? All those violins. You're my age. All those violins came out. And, you know, it was just fantastic. Just wanted to do that. I'm not sorry, but I feel in this strange mood. I think it's to do with that bear that's at their house, you know. And what he said, Louise, the Lord said to Elijah, come on, come out and stand on the edge. Because the presence of the Lord is going to pass by. When you're on the edge, and you're going to get a lot more opportunities, some of them you won't even know about, but you'll know you'll be there. The presence of the Lord's going to pass by and release you further into your destiny. There is an anointing of leadership on you. So you're a thinker, which isn't bad, is it? We need thinkers, but we need thinkers who are prepared to release the anointing into their thoughts. And being brought up as a Pentecostal, we didn't like philosophers and thinkers and all that. I think that was a big mistake, to be honest. It's treasured in the Word. And that was it. And it does say it in the Word, but somehow you've got an ability to open that out and communicate to the lowest common denominator so that you would know that people are understanding what you're saying. Is that true, Great One? Yeah, there he is. He says it. So that ability to lead people, you'll only know you're leading them when they follow you. But they will follow you. And I think you're on the, as they say up north, up by, you're on the cusp, lass. On the cusp. I say from Bristol, cusp. But you're there, and he just wants, so, what is it? Carpe diem. Seize its time. Take risks. Come on. Take risks and go for it. Jump off the cliff and fly. Let the angels fly with you. You know, I could sing a Frank Sinatra, couldn't we, Bart? Come fly with me. That's not. There you are.
Absolutely. First thing this morning at 7:30, he said, tonight is going to be something extraordinary.
Really?
I cannot wait until tonight.
Just said that. Oh, Sunday, come yon domoso. There might be more, but I'll finish at the moment. So I've got this strange scripture, which you all know. It's in Isaiah 66, verse 9. What one is... does find it difficult to find Isaiah sometimes, let alone the scripture. I'm going to read it from the New King James. If you do look at your watch, if I go up to 8:15, I really need to know. Okay, another 12 minutes or something. What's the time now? Just gone 8. What? They moved the clock. Praise God. They got my email. Yeah. This Isaiah 66 verse 9, shall I bring to the time or point of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb, says your God? Or the message, do I open the womb and not deliver the baby? Do I, the one who delivers babies, shut the womb? In other words, we are coming to a point of birth and release. And is the Lord going to stop that at the last minute? Or is he going to take it through because the promises of God are still yes and amen. So he is going to take it through and we are going to come in to bring to birth something of his life and the manifestation of his power. I don't mean to say you're pregnant. No, I didn't mean that. Ooh. But there's something there, that the promises of God, he is not the kind of God that sort of would tantalize us and bring us to a point, is he? Sometimes I think, oh, God, I don't know what's going on. The thing is, prophetic people keep asking questions, keep on and on and on and on. He likes questions, particularly if you've got a stone in your shoe, because he wants us to move on. So the prophetic is meant to take us into the future, not just the present. So the three areas in 1 Corinthians 3, the EEC, you prophesy, or ABC, is A? ABCD. It's E, edify, E, exhort, C, comfort, right? Which is, edify is to build up. Who's bought the new house? Yeah, well, the word build up the house is oikodome in the Greek, or something like that. In Bristol Greek, it's okidoki. So that'd be a nice name of a house, wouldn't it? Okidoki. So it's building up. Exhortation is stirring up. Comfort is cheering up. So that's the, but I want to say, I believe that that's just the beginning, the base. And if we're there, let's start going. And then when we come into places like this on a Sunday morning, where the music is first class, outstanding and great, isn't it? The worship, on the whole, it is. I'm trying to be honest. You still with me? The thing is, worshipping Jesus will, Revelation 19, release the spirit of prophecy. Did you hear that bell then? Mr. Bells. Yeah. And I think that is so important. And I just feel like so much happens in that focus of worship, in that release of worship, more than probably any of us realize. Like you up there where we are in Lancaster. People get touched, released and healed just through the worship. And I want much more. So it's something so prophetic. The spirit of prophecy is released as we focus, 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 concentrate, focus. But we need to move on from where we are. Don't we? Yes, we do. Maybe this is what is happening. And tomorrow I do want to emphasize that a lot, lot more. Okay, Jeremiah 12:5 says, if you have races with men on foot and they have worn you out, how are you going to run with horses? You could say nay, 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 but we won't do that. That is so important. And I feel like what he wants is this, that he wants us to go into another gear. Is it to a deeper level or a higher level? Or yes, I think it is both. I can't really work that out. But he, now, who ran with horses? There's two people I think of now. Correct. Think of Ethiopia. The Ethiopian eunuch. Remember, Phil just appeared and was running alongside, wasn't he? And he stopped. He was reading the gospel. He was reading for the Gospels, Isaiah 53, wasn't he? And then he shot off and got transported. Although I had a great train journey, nothing would bless me more than to be, wouldn't it? The other one is Elijah, was chasing down the hill, and Ahab was, you know, and suddenly the road runner went whoosh, you know, absolutely fantastic. I feel like it's acceleration day. You'll hear about that tomorrow a bit more. But it's going deeper into the dimension of the supernatural. To run with horses must mean supernatural endowment, empowerment. So our level of dedication to Jesus is going to be beyond whatever normal Christianity is. We could debate that all night, what that normal Christianity is. But I feel like he's calling us into a passionate walk, deeper and greater than ever before. Honest. And I really do. And opportunities are going to be there. We had for tea, they tasted quite nice. That was a poor joke. We had this young couple for tea. We've reached an age whereby the young people are now, do you get that? Yeah. Some of these young people are now like our grandchildren. It's a disgrace. You wait. It's a disgrace. And they came for tea, and this young man is not what I'd call I really don't know what to say anymore about thinking about what being saved is. I just don't know. But he's somewhere so close to the kingdom. So his girlfriend, Laura, who we know her parents really well, in fact, I knew Laura when she was in her mummy's tummy all those years ago. So we've known this family for ages. She took him to Soul Survivor. He didn't like the praise and worship. He liked the Bible study. I thought, what's going on here? You know. So they came for lasagne in our house and cooked by. And we had some real fun with them. And then I started to tell him about my background and all the illegitimacy and all that sort of thing. He said, my father disappeared when I was born. I don't know him. And it's like suddenly something opened up. And this young man, who was a choice young man. Any young men here? And don't. And I'm thinking, I want to lead him to Jesus. So next Sunday he's coming, and I want to preach the gospel about Jesus in his incarnation and his resurrection and his kingdom and overturning culture and this radical revolutionary that sometimes we don't hear about. Sometimes we're a bit mamby-pamby and feeble. Why? Because I want to run with the horses, don't you? And I want to see the supernatural demonstration, the power. Now, the thing about horses is, anybody work with horses? Nay. Thank you, Steve. Where? Who? Oh, a little bit. Is it true to say that if you leave a gate open, they'll always go to the open gate? All right. Shall we say yes? Now that's three times we've had nay. Nay, nay, thrice nay. Yes. You see, horses gradually move because open gates or portals attract them. And I feel like there are open gates where heaven is earth. Next week, Chris and I are going up north, just north of Newcastle, and I hope we'll go to Lindisfarne if the weather's nice. And one of my favourite heroes is St. Cuthbert, Cuthers, where I encountered God, not with him, it was too far back, but in the Anglican church in Brislington, St. Cuthbert, dead as mutton. And but God turned up and just zapped this 11, 12-year-old boy who was being confirmed. You'll read about it as I'm writing sometime soon. And St. Cuthbert saw more people open their lives to God and healed while he was in his tomb. They used to come there and kneel down because the presence of God... Now, I haven't got a problem with this if you think about Elisha dying and his grave was open and all these... It says it there somewhere in 2 Kings, doesn't it? Somebody died and they chucked his body in Elisha's open grave and he jumped out. Talk about a jack-in-the-box. It's just classic, really. I've got no problem. And I feel like we're going to be in for surprises after surprises, Louise. Surprises, surprises. Open gates. So what have I said so far? Anybody remember anything?
Surprises.
Oh! Anything else? Go back a bit. Horses for courses, yeah. Pardon? Carpe diem.
Stone in your shoe.
Oh, stone in your shoe. Then that really touches me. What about that scripture in Isaiah? God's going to bring to birth something. He is not going to stop it. And I tell you what, the enemy does not like it. As we'll see tomorrow. We'll carry on, really, and pray for anybody that breathes tomorrow, shall we? All right. Now, here's something else. Someone's quoted this. Watch the eagle. He locks his wings and picks up the thermals and rides the breath of God above the storm. Someone has said this. We're not called to be chickens, turkeys, vultures, pigeons, parrots, crows, or peacocks. Although we may have seen people that act like them. Present company gloriously accepted. The thing about turkeys are they're prepared to wind up on a dinner plate somewhere. But I don't want to be a charismatic chicken or a Pentecostal turkey. I've had enough of it. I want to be an eagle, don't you? They that wait upon the Lord shall, and they shall, as eagles, and yeah, we're called to be eagles. I can't go into this in too much detail, but I feel like someone else has said this. We are short of eagles and overrun with parrots. Those who laugh the loudest. Content to sit safely on our religious perches, repeating religious words. That really stabbed me. No matter you lot, that really got me. See, the eagle is created to live and fly in high places, not on ground level. It's time for us to soar, to pick up the thermals of the Spirit. Glory to God! And go for broke. And I feel like we are such spiritual people. I'm sure we have not realized the potential in this room, in our own lives. It's fantastic. But finally, it means us stepping off the edge, doesn't it? It means us going forward, going for it. When that happens, I tell you, God will move. Eagles are, their wings are designed to keep them soaring continuously. I remember we were just going along the side of Pennsylvania, Appalachian, and with me mates, we were going to Altoona and Horseshoe Curve. Does that mean anything to anybody? Yeah, to do with trains. Anyway, forget that. And so I looked up, and there in the sky, I don't know how many thousands, I could see this little speck. And as this bird got closer, he had a white head called a... Yeah. And there he was, picking up the thermal. And just, it's fantastic! And somehow, we're not made to be in the ground. We're raised up to sit... Am I preaching? We're raised up to sit with him in heavenly places. And I just think it's fantastic. An eagle's life depends on its ability to fly above the dangers of the earth. If a storm comes, it doesn't flee from the storm. It flies into the storm, picks up the wind, and goes over the storm. It's fantastic. There's much, much more of this. Another 40 minutes, but we'll, another time. It's fantastic. And they lock their wings and ride effortlessly. Effortlessly. Help me. Come on. All correct. Now, it's not so windy up our way, but it's windy down here. Nothing to do with the food, is it? It's windy. And the turbulent winds, these winds lift the eagle, gives him greater view, releases him to levels or her where no one else is. They ride the wind, and I feel like it's this really, this wild God. There's an eagle on there. Well, bust my boots. I've just seen it. There's something about riding effortlessly. I can't say it. On the wind. Yes, correct. And I feel like if you're not hearing anything, hear this. He's called us to fly. He has. But I tell you, you'll be tested. Because he's going to put words into you. Well, that's the other thing I've got to do, isn't it, Linda? Oh, we're nearly there. We're nearly there. So I want to fulfill the purpose for which I am. You're coming back. Or lie down. Do something. Yeah. We're called to fulfill the purpose for which we are created. And some of us are quite ancient with regard to age or relatively. I don't care anymore. I just want to go for it, don't you? I feel excited. I do. Hey, say, oh, there's an eagle. There he is. Isn't that amazing? You know, are you someone waiting for something to happen? Are you like me and you've missed opportunities? Probably we have. Tell you what I want to do. I want to see the opportunities before they come. You can do that, Sarah. But I feel like... Just can you touch my hand? Right, I received that. Yeah. We can. I want to more and more, don't you? So that we're there. We are sons of Issachar who know the times and the seasons. And it says, know what to do. That's somewhere in 2 Chronicles, isn't it? Yes. I do like Henry Ford, don't you? He's the one that says, we're going to have this car. What, do you remember the quote? Any colour you like, but it's got to be black. Yeah. Black, they say. This is what he said. One of the greatest discoveries a man, can I put there, a woman can make, one of his great surprises, is to find out what he can do, what he was afraid he couldn't do. We can do what we were afraid we can't do. That is so, so important. So Carey says, expect great things attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Right, that's part one. Part two, I want to just talk about the word a minute. Now, we've got poets and artists here, haven't we? Is there some artistic people or poet people? Anybody want to do some... Ooh, I know you are, yeah. Anybody want to write some poetry? Anybody want to do some drawing? If you just do it. You feel free. It's quite all right. I feel like we'll pray for them. So we later on. Can we pray for you? I feel like there's this great expanse. And what happened to me? I was so blinkered in the past. And we had to do it this way. You know, that was it. It was done. But I feel like God's putting stones in our shoes to release us out to something else. And to disturb us. Oh God, disturb us. I don't want to settle. I want this place to be millions too small, don't you? I really do. So that we really do touch society. We make a difference. Going into tomorrow. So, right, ready? Words. Words relate to communication. Either spoken or read. Now, the philosophers use the term, can I say logos? I don't know. How do you pronounce it over there? Over there. Logos? Logos. Yeah. The philosophers use the word in different ways, like a reason or explanation, or a principle for order and knowledge, or reasoned discourse, or even a divine... divine animating principle pervading the universe. You may have just forgotten all of that. But Philos, this Greek philosopher, said that God's creative principle is logos. I quite like that. But what John did, he identified logos as through which all things are made as divine, and identified Jesus as the incarnation of the logos. So Jesus was incarnate. He was made flesh. But, you know, you read John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Logos was, and Theos was God. He took it much further. Incredibly radical. So Logos was incarnate. And to me, incarnation is such a central doctrine that Jesus was made flesh. And it says in John 1:14, he dwelt, right? He tabernacled himself amongst men, it says. Absolutely amazing. But you see, this word logos relates to God, I'm leading us somewhere, active in creation, revelation, and redemption. Now there's a Hebrew word translated as Dabar, D-A-B-A-R, which can be used as a divine word or a word event or a prophetic word. And the other word in the Greek is rhema, which is word. In English, it's word and word, rhema and logos, isn't it? Just say yes. But Dabar means rhema and logos. So what am I talking about? Well, this is what I'm talking about. Jesus is the Logos, but Rhema is the revealed Word of God given as an utterance from God to the hearer or the reader through the Holy Spirit. Rhema is almost a word that is spoken, a word coming out of word. Does that make sense? Something like that. And what God did in the beginning, where Dabar is, in the beginning, God created. You notice it says, God spoke, God spoke, God spoke. Well, God Dabar'd, if that's such a term. God Dabar'd. God spoke Dabar, which is Logos and Rhema, and something happened. When God spoke a word, something happened because of his divine ability to create out of his own word. Do you see that? So he spoke and it came into being. Now I'm leading us somewhere which is interesting to me. It's very challenging. So the spoken word made something happen. The power of the created word is incredible. So Proverbs 18:21 says, you know it actually, life and death is in the power of the word. Those that live by it, what? Life or death. Will eat its fruit, what? Life or death. So if I speak a word of death into Steve, my words are spoken and they can be creatively destructive into him and more than affect him, it could afflict him. But if I speak words of life, I'm building up and edifying and speaking words of life, that those words can create something, you see? And to me, that is absolutely critical. Because when God spoke, it was life. When Jesus spoke, it was life. So when we speak, what do we speak? Life. We speak life. And it leads me to say that if we are in Christ, is it true that we can speak creatively with words that contain power? I think that's dangerous. But that doesn't mean to say it's wrong. The Old Testament prophets spoke the word of God into the present, into the now, to the people. To them, words weren't just an expression. The words they spoke contained power. The words Jesus spoke contained power. The words we speak. We have to be careful, because if I say, for thus says the Lord, Bart, God hath called you to Cambodia. And I'm saying, because I'm speaking the word of the Lord, I am correct. Please put up the red flags. Because Bart may not have had the word from God himself. Well, I haven't heard, he says. Well, I've just spoken the word of the Lord. That might, do you see what I'm saying? Be really cautious and careful. However, that doesn't negate the fact that that dabar word, which is speaking creatively, words of power, divine words of power, can be released through ordinary, frail, flawed people like me. You lot are perfect. Well, you're in a nice middle class-ish, not quite, area. So are we. I'm up in Biddy Land, where we live. And the bids ride these electric scooters in the middle of the street. I'm telling you, it's so unbelievable. Oh, dear Lord, help us. As the prophet spoke the word itself became the beginning of its fulfillment. The expectation was that his words were to have the same creative power as God's words. So Elijah says, by my word, it will not rain. Whose word? Now I'm saying this because there's a power in words that I want to take responsibility for. Do you want a bit off there? There's a power in words that I feel like... Merci, madame. There's a power in words that we have. And I want to know the Spirit of God and that anointing so that the power of words that I speak into you actually make something happen. I'm sort of overwhelmed with this because I think we've always known this, but I've begun to see it and I've begun to flesh it into me. You think, oh, we've known that for years. And I say, all right, Steve, if you really have, why haven't you been doing it? Why isn't it happening? I'm talking about me now. You know. It's so, so important. So as the words were spoken, something began to happen. And the scriptures are full of that. Full of that. Incredible. To the point where Peter is having a little snooze on the flat roof in Acts somewhere around 10. And this blanket comes down and God speaks to him about the clean and the unclean. And then the Spirit says to him, go down the stairs. Well, what's it going to be? That's so simple. Open the front door, because there's some men there that have come from a Roman. It's ridiculous, but it's a direct word, and you know what happened. Suddenly the door was open to Gentiles. And I just feel like we're in a place whereby what's the hardest thing in the world for me? To hear God's voice. It's the most challenging thing, I think. But I want to get there. I want to be sharp, don't you? Focused, no blurring. I really, really do. So that leads me to this quote, this issue vital to understood. We're just getting there now, and we'll stop. The prophetic word is not clairvoyance, one who sees ahead the future. But there can be prediction and creation by speaking God's purpose into the present, which changes and shapes it to be the future. So here's what I'm saying. I speak a word of prophecy into you, and that word is living and powerful, right? Like the Dabar, like the Logos, the Rhema, all that sort of thing. It's a word that's going to be creative, and that word will, please God, begin to change and shape your lives into the future. Now, God sees it. God knows that, I'm convinced, are you? So what I'm saying is maybe God's purposes aren't set and predetermined so much as we thought. But the prophetic word spoken creatively brings about that sort of future. So what I'm saying is God has somehow restricted himself to draw us in so that we can speak as he knows, of course, because he's God. But he's restricted himself to us so that we can speak into people's lives the words that can shape the future. I think that's controversial. I think it's interesting. I think it's challenging. But I do believe it. So we've got that role to play to release God's purposes. And he's limited himself to our response. So as we release God's purposes into the now, it becomes the future. In other words, this quote says, he shapes the future by reforming the present. We can all be part of this, part of God's creative purpose, by bringing God's creative force into the now. In other words, we speak words of truth and reality, which actually are words of power, not just words of information. I'm naffed off with words of information in this context. I want words of power, words that reveal, words that provoke, words that open us up, words that actually shape lives to walk into the future, into their destiny. Now, to me, I think that is revolutionary. But I believe we have the ability in God. Ooh, shut up, ohoyotahoyo. Don't you? To move in that way. And we're going to do that in a minute, shall we?
Yeah.
Now, I've got no idea what you think about that, but that definition is on the notes. And I think that's important for you to see. So here's a question. How can I grow in the prophetic ministry? And how can I receive more, deeper, sharper, revelatory words from God? These are on the notes. Answer. It's a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. There are not any quick ways. There's no methodology. I cannot tell you how to produce, but I can indicate how to cooperate. So here's how to cooperate. What's that triangular sign we find in the road?
Give way.
Give way. Yeah, we yield. So give way to the Holy Spirit. If you don't know what the triangular sign is, come for prayer later. In other words, deliberately invite him in. As I'm talking, maybe you want to do it, because we're going to stop in just a sec and get people to stand on the stuff. We need to tune to commune. Tune. Tune to commune. You need to yield. There's a bit more on there. Learning to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Next one is shut up and listen. I tell you that is not easy these days. The spirit of, I'm quite quiet really, the spirit. When I became a Christian, I didn't speak anything for 3 years. One may have made up for it. When I prepared this colossal message for the young people, the first one I ever spoke, this is back in 1967. Anybody? No, never mind. None of you were, probably. It's a disgrace. I said to Chris, I got too much. They'll never take in all this. I spoke 4 minutes. I'm dead. Finished. Gone. That was it. I died of embarrassment. shame and failure. I think it was a great lesson I learned. One has made up for it since. But I feel like we need to shut up and listen. Gandhi says, God speaks to us every day, but we do not listen. So I've got wait, watch and listen. They're all down here. Thirdly, step out of play safe. In other words, the only way to jump in, get into the swimming pool is to finally jump in. Is to dive in. Step out or play safe. And that to me is very, very important. Somehow learning to release faith is actually releasing faith. As we'll see tomorrow, Peter did have the guts to get out of the boat. I'm concerned about the others that's remained in the boat. It's very important. And the final one is, ladies, you'll understand this, relax and push. I pushed at Chris's shoulders and I did my bit when she was having Joanna. The trouble was she was speaking in tongues loudly because the gas and air made her go a bit dippy. Don't tell her I said that. It's the funniest thing ever. They all wonder what she was going, oh, another funny. And I'm going, oh my goodness, Lord. And suddenly Joanna went, there she was. This was a long delivery, by the way. But we need to step out. We need to relax in the spirit and push out. So Haggai 1 verse 13 says it all, doesn't it? Just say yes. Do you know what it says? I'm not going to tell you. Yeah. Go with what you've got. Do you know what he said? For thus says the Lord, there's five words, I am with you. That's what he said. Oh, I could say that. No problem. It's the right place, the right time, the right moment. And they started to rebuild. The house of the Lord. I'm with you. Yes. Well, let me come closer to you, my little coochie coo.
A long time ago, this was in a...
Yes, that was the idea. Yeah, she didn't see that, no.
I can manage for that. I'm loud enough. There was a group much like this of people who were learning to prophesy, and there was one young man, and he really desperately wanted to have the gift of prophecy, and so he said to the Lord, "Lord, I want to prophesy." And so the Lord did give him a word, and he said, "Thus says the Lord, do it." And then he sat down and thought,
"Beautiful.
I feel such a fool." Yeah. And then a second time. He says, thus says the Lord, do it. And then a third time, he said, thus says the Lord, do it. And he was so embarrassed and so self-conscious. At the end of the meeting, somebody came up to him and said, thank you for that prophetic word. I said to the Lord, if that young man can be daft enough to say it three times, I'll know it's from you.
That reminds me of a little story by Ian Andrews. You know Ian Andrews, don't you? The guy that preaches for hours and sometimes sort of mixes up his words. So somebody is in a meeting, and every Sunday morning this man would get up and speak in tongues. Every Sunday morning. And it got a little bit grating, do you know what I mean? Because we need to share it out, don't we? And it went on and on and on. And the next week coming, they had some... Do you know this story? No. They had some missionaries coming. And so the leaders sidled up to this bloke and said, you know, would you mind zipping, you know? Would you mind not doing that this time? And I don't know what he said. He probably responded and said, all right. But so the meeting's on. Guess what happens? He stands up and says, puka puka. Puka puka. This is true. Puka puka. Well, the leadership lost the plot, wouldn't you? I would. Sits down. The missionary gets up and says, he is telling us of the tribe where we have been in the jungle somewhere. That is a warning sign of impending disaster or warfare coming. That is a key word. So, three times, puka puka, go with what you've got. Now if you stand up tomorrow and say puka puka, I'll do my best to interpret, Steve. But it's, do you know, it's so, we need to just be alert, don't we? Be alert, yeah. It's so important. So we're going to stop there, and then we'll have a teeny time, no, a little sort of break when we begin to prophesy. Then I want to come back and just talk a little bit about, well, it's only 20 to 9, it's quite early.
Oh, it's early.
And so, help me, Linda, what shall we do? What we'll do, we'll get the lino out, or do some, or if you want to do some poetry, or you want to do some drawing, there's three of these. Lots of lino. I can't even open it, Linda. And who were the people that said that they've not prophesied? Would you mind people that not that you feel you haven't prophesied at all or much? Would you mind helping me out tonight? Would you mind? So what we're going to do, you're going to lay it at the back there. Okay. There are people here that really do want, not the people that I'm just mentioning, the ones who put their hands up, we'll deal with you later. But there are others of you that need a word from the Lord, aren't there? Probably. Will some of you, other than those people that I've mentioned, will some of you go up to the back here and, oh sorry, and stand on, oh, Linda might need some help. We're doing well here, darling. Would some of you go up and just stand on the paper? Now, go on. Not the people that haven't prophesied much, because they're going to come with me and a couple of us others, and we're going to write stuff down on the paper. So I'll come to, I want any of the others, yeah, not the ones that put their hands up earlier, that have only prophesied a little. We can turn this off for a bit, shall we? Yeah.
Not the ones, that's right, now look at them. There's four beautiful gardens there. So that's what I want. And how many of you just wanted to set them up? Because I feel like there's something for them. And right now I'm not clear what it is, but I feel something in here. So some of you might want to reach out.
Well, these two remind me of them. The choice, the sense of being choice. Sorry, I'm trying to speak too quickly. They're a choice couple. Forget about them going somewhere. Forget about pregnancy. But I'm trying to lead up to the fact that this is like this couple in my church, a choice couple. Verse ends a bitter? Yeah, good. Feeling dang. Ambition. Okay. That means a little bit. Yeah. So I'm just, because I think they're a choice couple. And I feel like that, I don't know what time to get around them. I just feel like God wants to, here's the pen. God wants to use you in just different, slightly obscure and mysterious ways. So it's nothing to do with going from this place. It's nothing to do with having what I said. It's just that I feel like there's a sense of God's presence on you and his hand is on. I'd take them away now with me, put them in my little suitcase and take them home now. That's what I'd do. I'm feeling quite alone and isolated here. I've not got put off. Good. There's something. Now I know he's in the police force.
No.
I don't know he's in the police force. Well, praise God for that. He's in the what? The traffic wardens. Where is he? Oh, do you? Well, that's not. Yeah, that's. Well, I hope so, because I wrote something strange down on your stuff. This is confirming something. There's something. sort of strange and obscure that God's leading you into. That's what I feel. And the quality in your hearts with regard to your relationship with God and with each other will just enhance the calling. Because talk about breakthrough people. Talk about being, I want to say, getting revelation about the stuff that you're doing, like inventions, like new ways, new things, new ideas, new technologies, and all this. It's there. It's in there. It's fantastic. And I feel like God wants to open out. It doesn't worry me that you'll make 100 times more than I've ever made in my life. It doesn't worry me about all that, because money isn't the issue. But God has already got your hearts for stewarding. You know, I don't. You know, you'll give away as much as you earn, and then you'll get more, pressed down, shaken together. I think it's just a colossal explosion's going to happen. You know, and that really blesses me. And I actually want to confess, I wrote down there, chief inspector. Shows how my mind works. But I feel you are a chief inspector. Because you're going to mentor and train dozens or multitudes of men and women. And you'll be the one that will tweak and turn and change and direct and disciple into this whole realm of business that they haven't got a clue. But you will, because God's going to give you revelation and wisdom. Going to be fantastic. It is. She is so full of compassion and mercy. Well, I said that before. It just oozes out. Maybe it's from your mother. It just oozes out. I don't know. But it's just that. And together, you're just so key in people that take the weight of the church. I mean, not just this part of the church, but the city church, the national church. It's like the government is on your shoulders. It is. There's weight there which you can take and cope. And I feel like having key couples like you two, and they must be young, mustn't they? I bet my daughters are older than these two. Yeah, they are. You're not 40, are you? No. Well, I got one a lot younger, actually. That was a joke. No, you don't look yet. She said you don't look it. It's ridiculous. There's such quality for God and of God. And it's like there's an acceleration in you with regard to revelation of who He is. This Father God. This Lord that wants you to get close. This Lord that wants you to run after Him. This bride that's crying out to her king, kiss me with the kisses of my lips. It's something, closeness and intimacy. It's there. It's there. There's something in there. And sometimes I think there's a great frustration. You don't know what to do with it. And are you in the right context to release it? Do you know what my answer is? I've got no idea. But He'll show you. But there's something that's going to explode. So it's not just business, and call that what you like, with you being the chief of the inspector. It's something else that I think of your own relationship with God, that will in your influences, that will influence and affect, and you'll comfort the afflicted, and you'll afflict the comfortable, and it's there, and there's the difference, but it's harmony. It is, because you need each other. What's the matter with you?
Afflicts me.
He afflicts you, does he? Yeah. I could imagine that. Yeah. But I think sometimes he focuses on something that you ain't got any idea. What's he doing now? He walks around like his head is in the clouds. You know, he's in a dream. But I think God's doing something, and I want to commend that. Let him do it. Slap him occasionally. But let him do it, because I feel like it's going to be powerful. It's like things are going on. Cogs are going round. Inventions and good things and revelations and wisdom is all coming out. It's all coming together. So he's off on another planet. But I tell you, it's for the benefit of the kingdom of God in you two. It's going to be great, because he'll go into places that few of us can go into. Benjamin, the son of my right hand, the left-handed warrior. That's what it is. Just amazing, really. So that's the choice couple. You know, what they do without knowing it, they attract people for the kingdom of God. If you haven't known that, you must do. You draw people. You draw people. People that are not born again, people or whatever, not in the kingdom. And they think, what's the matter with these two? Okay, what's wrong with them? There's something going on. And they want to get to know you and draw close. And suddenly, they'll learn from you. St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel wherever you go, and sometimes even talk about it. And there it is. It's you two. It's fantastic. She's sneaky. They come close and she sticks the knife in, you know, and they just open their hearts to God hardly without you knowing. It's amazing. So carry on. But you need a context of people around you that can cajole you, that can help you, that can lead you, that deep friendships are so important. And over the years, so many of us have had a lack of that. And I feel that it's a time for relationship, of depth, so that you become secure, so that you can fly off and do what you're going to do, knowing that you're in a secure base, being secure with deep friendships around that. So important. Finished. I think, yeah. So there, remember that, Chief Inspector. Where's the artists? Where are all the artists and the painters? Do you want to just get in the circle? We could do a little Jericho around them, couldn't we? There's one. Artists, poets, come on, Patricia. Writers, where are they? Where's the flag waver? Where's she gone? Eh? She had to go home, oh bless her. Okay. Yes. Well, she said she'd fall asleep. I said, I don't mind. Fall asleep, doesn't matter. Any more? Hello. I know, it's wonderful. Well, I see a whole bunch of wonderful women, men. Oh, wow, well, I didn't see him, sorry. You snuck up on me. If anyone's Mr. Creativity, it's him. Any more? Oh, it's her. Just sing it in French, all right? So, shall we gather around? Is there any more? There's 20 parts, quarter past 9. I need to do about another 15 minutes talk after this, and then get the mantle out. We're all going to go under it. Not all in one go, it's not that big. But there's something in that I just need to do prophetically. So, I haven't got enough hands to put on all of them. Would some of you just... The thing about Jesus, he did pray, but it was like speaking the word prayer, like this. Take up your bed and walk, go home. You know, he said such strange things. But it was so full of rhema, wasn't it? It was so full of creativity. So help us, Lord. How we should pray. Because these influencers in creativity of words, the way they communicate, there's some of these people, dear people here, who have a brilliance with regard to communicating words. And we pray in Jesus' name that you will open doors for them that will surprise them and take them into areas and arenas that will actually affect government. That will actually communicate kingdom of God, common sense, that will actually come to pass. Lord, we've had some Japanese clap around, haven't we?
Oh, yes.
Put the R in the L. We've had that around. It's been nonsense out there. But I just pray there's an anointing here, Lord. I just know there is. That will be dynamic and radical. The words that they write and will speak will penetrate into hearts further and deeper than they ever have thought. Whether it's cinematographic, whether it's photography. Who's the photographers around here? Any photographer? Yeah, there's one there. Okay. There's something just fantastic. I call it so prophetic. But Lord, we want to influence, not just stay within this, in these walls, looking within ourselves and navel gazing. We don't want to blink in navel gaze anymore.
No.
Somehow, Lord, open doors. I'm saying too much. Someone needs to interrupt me. Linda. Where are you? Oh, she's there.
Just a picture of shooting arrows. Flame shooting
piercing
the darkness.
Ooh!
And the arrows are sharpened in the secret place.
Yeah. Did you hear that? Do you want to say it a bit? Can you say it a teeny bit louder?
The arrows are sharpened in the
巴图亚图库。
Yeah. Lord, I want to say it's time. It's time for these people. It's time. Lord, it's time! It's time! It's as though the religiousness and the pharisaical nonsense has locked them up. But there's such creativity to be released and to flow out. To surge like a flood of words and picture. Music. It's time, Lord! We declare it to the heavenlies, to the powers. You're listening. It's time! It's time! Open doors, Lord. Excite them with colossal wisdom, knowledge, and discerning and revelation. New things, Lord. You God of new creation. Time.
You can see the hells that blew the great Arabic, the preparation for the coming of the king. I believe God has called us to be heralds, to proclaim the coming of the king.
Yeah.
God is like a diamond, and that diamond has many facets. Mm. And each of the people here, each of these artistic people, are able to shine a light on a new facet of that diamond that perhaps has not been seen before, and not in that light. And only by their particular skill that they can actually shine on that facet and make that facet gleam. And then the diamond gets more shape. And the kingdom is clearer and larger and more effective.
Yeah. That just sparked me with something. There is a gem in the world, this mind in one place only. It's just beneath Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. Thank you. It's called Tanzanite. Heard of that?
Yeah.
It's at least 100 times more valuable than diamonds. Yeah. I have seen one in a jeweler's shop worth a lot of money. Hello, you Tanzanites. And it's only in one place in the world they found it. It's going to run out in the next 20 years. I think that you're like Tanzanites, this valuable gem. And Lord, it's blue, heavenly blue, deep, dark. Put the light on it and the refraction just breaks out incredible colours. There's pinks and all sorts of other colours that come out from the centre. Just like you, the creativity within you. You Tanzanite gems, you. With the light of the Spirit just penetrating. It's going to release this rainbow colour of light refracting out of you, touching and influencing so many. You're precious in the sight of your God.
Unleash it.
Yes. Yeah, we agree, don't we? Our words are creative. Unleash it. Speak them out.
Thing, but, you know, I think so often the
the logic and all that stuff is really valued in a church context, but one would want to kind of completely break that open and kind of set you in place where there's a freedom to kind of be yourself and not feel constrained to be something that you're not. Mm-hmm. To feel like then you've got to kind of rationalise and explain yourselves or explain what you're creating.
Was it Copernicus that was sort of martyred, died for his beliefs, because he knew that everything didn't go around the world, but it all went around the sun, didn't it? And the Catholic Church actually repented of that in the last few years, like 500 years too late. And we've been caught and trapped, I think, and hamstrung in a tradition, as Linda, I think, was alluding to. And people like you lot, you might have been like Copernicus back there, you know. But it's time to break out. It's time to break out. Because I feel there always has been a place for you. But we've been so blinkered through religiosity and pharisaical nonsense over the years. But I feel like it's time. It's time. We're going to be with them, aren't we? Just love to see this all over the nation. Groups of people breaking out in powerful ways.
Religiosity is commanded by fear, and faith is commanded by God.
By reality,
And knowledge and experience of the Father, Heart of God, revelation has come at least in the last 10 years to the church. And that experience is critical to creative people. Because that is what provides the security to pioneer and to reach out in creativity. Mm-hmm. It's the religious intellectualism that actually blocks that experience in the heart of God, or can damage it. But I feel the Lord say to all of you, just draw so close and know the Father, heart of God. It's out of that place of security that you all can really blossom without looking over your shoulder.
Yes, thank you.
Are you excited?
Yes, thank you. Okay. That's brilliant, thank you.
I also feel Steve really had to shout, "It's time," and shout it again and again, and it is a voice crying in the wilderness. And it is a vast wilderness in the world in many ways. Very devoid of depth and beauty. And the voice in the wilderness cries, "Prepare the way of the Lord." So for people to be able to use words and art to open people's hearts. So that the Lord's way is prepared, and the Lord then is able to come forward. But that shouting and commanding it, "It's time," is essential, because otherwise the time will not be ours. The time will belong to someone else and something else, not to the Holy Spirit. So we have to know there is a wilderness.
It's just reminded me of that verse in the end of Song of Songs, which says, "Who is that coming out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved?"
This word, in terms of creativity, drawing from wider resources. Something that really touched me was the Andrew Lloyd Webber and Carrie Barlow song "Sing." And I think it was the fact that it was our harmonies and melodies drawn from around the globe. And the wider we draw in that sense of unity, the more powerful it is. And I feel God saying to you, expand your horizons and draw places of creativity that are not just within your experience, or without your experience, if you like. And that can be Holy Spirit. He can show you things, he can lead you to people and to places that are quite extraordinary, quite remote, sometimes quite unlovely to the human eye, but beautiful to God.
All day, and
all week, the word the Lord just kept putting on my heart, and that word is, if anyone will trust with all their heart in everything, in every problem, in every doubt, in everything, then he can fully achieve everything he wants in your life, in your work, in your art, in your, his mercy, his compassion can burst into the world through you.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you trust in him, the more his mercy can burst into this world. And it will be astonishing what you'll see. To the degree you can trust God will be the degree you see his miracles and his miracles of mercy in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll see many, so many you won't be able to count them. If you'll trust him with all your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I want to move on just for a few more minutes. That'd be okay, thank you. Dominic. Right, here we are. That's that. Those notes. These notes here, we'll give you them later if you want them. I just want to briefly talk about this. It is an IKEA wrap, but it is a mantle. And there's something here that has really gripped me. Bringing it down on the train was a bit difficult, really. But there, I didn't wear it. And at 1 Kings 19, Elijah departed from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him. Now, he didn't say a word. He passed by him, took off the mantle and threw it over him and walked on. The thing is, Elisha knew immediately what it was. He knew it. He knew what the mantle represented. And he said to Elijah, please let me kiss my father and mother, then I'll follow you. And Elijah said to him, go back again. Now if you read it through the chapters, it keeps on saying, stay here, go back. I'm going on. Don't come with me. And all the time, there was that pressure from Elijah to push him back, which I think was challenging his own core. Be prepared for that. There's something in there that I can't put into words right now. But I feel like some of us have been there. But I do want to press on, don't you? I want my vision not... I don't want it blurred. I want to be focused right. And Elisha turned back and did something. He burnt his job. There aren't too many that would burn their jobs. I know it was April the 1st, 1981, when I moved from what I was doing in my charter surveying to come into ministry. That may have been an apt day, but it was a major turning point in my life. And here we have something which to me is amazing. He burnt his work and gave the oxen to everybody. Boiled their flesh, burnt the oxen's equipment, gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he rose and followed Elijah and became his servant. How many years was he with him? Do you know? It's not easy. At least 6 or 8, maybe more years. And he was known by the king, later in 2 Kings, he was known as a person who washed the hands of Elijah. Jehoshaphat said, there is that prophet. That's Elisha, the one who washed the hands. I tell you, servant heart, humility, serving one another is an utter key. I don't know what that would mean for you, but sometimes it's the very down-to-earth practical stuff. I had more blessing and anointing in the Pentecostal church when I was on the door every Sunday morning for years, really. I did go home, but you know what I mean. When people